You're listening to Cutting Down the Nets on the Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Rufus Teague. Get yours today at RufusTeague.com. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
This next guest spot, like all of them, brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Let's go to the national championship winning head coach with the UCLA Bruins in 1995. Here's Jim Harrick on Sports Map Radio. Joining us now is a coach who has reached the top of the mountain before, as that's what it's all about. One of these four schools this weekend is going to cut down the nets, and we're going to be joined now by Jim Harrick, who was a national champion head coach with the UCLA Bruins in 1995, and he's kind enough to join us on the Progressive guest line. Jim, thanks for your time. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
Absolutely.
How is it down there? How's it going down there?
I'll tell you, it's a good weather time of year right now. I know you were just talking about that with our buddy Craig Larson, and it's going to heat up pretty quickly, but fortunately for everybody that's coming in for the Final Four, it won't be that bad just yet.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about your experience getting to the top of the mountain, and that's where I wanted to start. What was it like becoming a national champion with the Bruins in 95?
Boy, I tell you, we had a great run through the tournament, and our kids clearly played well, and had a little luck sometime. We got through that second round game, and then no one really got close to us after that, kind of like UConn. UConn hadn't had a close game yet, and they looked really, really strong. So we had a great run, and you know what? It changes a lot of things. It certainly changed me in my life, and it changed my ability to coach. I was so much more calm on the bench and relaxed in my teaching and coaching, and it was just it's something that they can never take away from you. It's just a great feeling, a great thing, and to be a part of that is really, really special.
I do have to take you back to, I'm sure, a game in your career that you'd like to forget, but 40 years ago with Pepperdine against NC State and Jim Valvano, a game in Corvallis that you guys certainly had, and NC State ends up, snatching it away from you and going on to win the national championship. And I think that game really highlights the fickle nature of this tournament, how close you can be to taking out a team who then goes on a run, as we saw with Florida Atlantic in the first round against Memphis. They were certainly on the ropes for the out. Down by one inside 10 seconds left. So what do you remember from that game against Valvano in 83?
Well, we had the ball. We were up six in the first overtime, up six with the ball with a minute to go. And he got in the second overtime. We missed some couple one-on-ones and got in the second overtime. The funny thing about it, we're up two, and we fouled him with 9 seconds to go, and they go on the line, they miss two. They miss two foul shots. And they got in, that ball hit the rim and bounced really long, and this kid in the second lane, he had never scored. He's 6'9". He hadn't scored in the whole game. Got an offensive rebound and banked it in and got in the second overtime and beat us. And boy, I tell you, I called Valvano after that, and I said, hey, Jimmy, I made you. If it wasn't for me, that no one would ever heard about you. And then years later, he was up for the UCLA job and didn't get it, and I got it, and he called me. He said, hey, Eric, I made you.
That's funny.
So he got me back, so it was funny. But, they did that to a lot of teams. He was in a foul mode at the end. Foul, and make him make a foul shot. And shoot, we had our 84% foul shooter, our best shooter, the all-time leading scorer in the history of Pepperdine until somebody broke it on the line. So I would, I'd put my check on that guy. But it just didn't work out, and that is fickle. Yesterday I was watching the San Diego State game, and they're up two with 30 seconds with the ball, and they throw it right over the top, a high lob pass. But you never throw a high lob soft pass. Threw it over there, and the kid got it and laid it in. And then they came down, the other team came down, and this guy hit a shot right in the middle of the lane, for Creighton. It hit the right rim, the back rim, the left rim, the back rim, the right rim, and just fell off. And I was just sitting there saying, wow, what an inch, what a half an inch makes in this tournament. It's just so crazy.
I wanted to go back to the UCLA coaching tenure for you, particularly coaching Ed O'Bannon. And, of course, O'Bannon was part of a, you know, filed an antitrust class action lawsuit against the NCAA in which he believed that there were challenges and he wanted to fight the NCAA's use of name, image, and likeness. What do you? What was your relationship with Ed? And, of course, you know, he filed that lawsuit 8 years ago, and now we're living in an age of NIL is just commonplace in college athletics.
Everybody's getting any money ought to chip in some and give it to Ed because he got the thing started. Really, it really wasn't him. You know, the NCAA's made so much money over the years, and they would never share it with the kids. And that got people going. It wasn't really Ed. It was a group. It was a group, and they needed someone's name. And he agreed to do it. He really wasn't part of it, but he was part of it because his name was on there. And but he got it started and got it right, and now it's gone way, 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 way overboard. I mean, they're doing things now that's just crazy, giving kids money like that. I don't know where it's going, but the schools that have the money are willing to give kids money are going to be in the next 5 years going to be the dominant teams because. Some schools will and some schools won't, and the ones that won't are going to be left out. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Well, what's the balance there? I mean, on one hand, I'm sure you know Ed personally still and feel like he had a cause and the rest of the class action, everybody wanted to kind of fight for what was right for the players. But like you said, now it feels like maybe we've gone too far with a lot of the NIL stuff that's going on. So how do you find a balance?
Well, you give them a stipend. You give them a stipend through the year, and that's it. We're going to give you this amount of money, and that's the way it's going to be. If you want it, fine. If you don't want it, don't come to college. But to open it up and give guys hundreds of thousands of dollars, I mean, it becomes a bidding war, and that's just not right. They've gone way, way overbound. And then they open the portal, and it takes away any kind of loyalty that every kid could ever have for a school. And kids are playing this place and that place. One kid I watched a year ago, he played at four different schools. And I'm not sure that's a real situation that they wanted to have. And, you know, they said, well, coaches can leave. But that's a different situation. Guys got a wife and family. And you know, it's his livelihood. And these young kids, you know, there's a certain amount of things about loyalty that you can't just throw away, and loyalty to a school is and the school's loyal to you because they're giving you a scholarship, and so it's a two-way street, and school's being loyal, but the kids just up and move, and it's a crazy time to be coaching.
Jim, last one for you. You mentioned coaching, and we went back to that game against Jim Valvano in the tournament. You coached against the great Lute Olson, plenty in the Pac-10 at the time, and you had a cup of coffee at Rhode Island, and, of course, you were going against John Chaney at Temple. So when it comes to coaching against some other legends, how much did guys like that make you a better coach?
Oh, hey, I'd go to bed at night and worry that I'd wake up, play Chaney the next day, wouldn't score. I mean, he was that good, and Lute was a fantastic coach. Yeah, they absolutely playing those guys made me better. No question. Took me a year and a half to figure out John Chaney's zone. I watched 100 tapes of their games, and I tell you, it's hard. And then Lute made me a better coach because he was so good. He covered every facet of the game. And when I figured out some things, I had to figure out something. One thing I figured out that helped me compete with him, or I'd have got my brains beat out. And I'll tell you, those guys, you're absolutely correct. They made me a better coach.
Well, there's Jim Harrick again, the national champion with the UCLA Bruins in 1995, also a coach at Pepperdine, Rhode Island, and Georgia at the Division I level. So, Jim, I really appreciate your time. This has been fun, and let's enjoy the last three games of the college basketball season. Do you have a pick?
Okay. Hope. I got to pick UConn.
Okay.
Got to pick UConn. They've just killed everybody. They haven't had even a close game yet. And they're playing at a high, high level. And they're loaded, boy. They're big and strong and depth and fast and quick and can shoot it. And Danny Hurley's a good coach. They're gonna be hard to beat. It's going to be a hard out. But there's three teams in there that have never been there before,
sure.
Ever.
Right.
So that's great, great. Now, you know, I'd hope San Diego State would win it because Dutcher, you know, he's paid his dues. His dad was a great coach years ago in the Big Ten. He grew up in a gym, and he was Michigan for years with Fisher, came out here with
right.
Fisher for years. So he paid his dues, and he deserved it. He got a great opportunity, great chance, so I'm going to be rooting for him.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot for your time.
Okay, hope to see you down there.
All right, take care.